Hello again, and welcome to Studies in the Gospels, a program heard each week right here on the Gospel Radio Network. My name is Chris McElyea, your host of this program, where each week we study the life of Christ as found in the Gospel accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Today we begin a new section of our study, as we begin now today to look at the events of the crucifixion. And today we're going to look as Jesus is led away to be crucified. These events are found in Matthew chapter 27, verses 31 through 34. Mark chapter 15, verses 20 through 23. Luke chapter 23, verses 26 to 33. And John chapter 19, verses 19 through 22. Now let's look at a couple of these accounts. Let's begin by looking at Matthew's account, Matthew 27, beginning in verse 31. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. Now as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Now also, let's look at Mark's account in chapter 15, beginning in verse 20. And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off of him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. Then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. Now let's take a moment to reflect back upon our events to this point. Mark, in his account, has revealed to us, if we go back to chapter 14, verses 32 through 42, the agonizing prayer of our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, steeling himself for the trial in front of him. And then, in verses 43 through 50, we read that one of the 12 disciples, Judas, betrayed him into the hands of the mob that would arrest him in the garden. In verse 65, we see the beating and mocking of Jesus at the fraudulent hearing held by Caiaphas. And then, in verses 66 through 72, we find Jesus' beloved friend Peter had denied him in the hour of trial. In chapter 15, in verses 15 through 20, Jesus had been scourged, beaten, mocked, and humiliated by the Roman soldiers. And by the time we come to our text today, Jesus would have been completely exhausted physically. He would have had no sleep in over a day. He had been beaten without mercy from the scourging. His skin would be ripped to shreds. He would have lost an untold amount of blood. In fact, his appearance was completely unrecognizable. But yet, the worst was still to come. He was condemned to die by crucifixion. The Roman soldiers would lead him to the hill of Calvary. So let's begin as Jesus is led away to the crucifixion. The road to the cross begins. In chapter 15 of Mark, in verse 20, it says, "And when they had mocked him, they took the purple off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him." So they now begin to lead him out to the hill of Calvary. One of the reasons he would literally have to be led is that his eyes were quite possibly swollen shut from the beatings and the blood. Jesus would begin his march bearing his cross. In John chapter 19 in verse 17, "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha." Jesus likely reached a point in the procession to Calvary that he could no longer physically carry the cross. Perhaps he was unable to carry it fast enough to suit the soldiers that were in charge of the festivities. Luke, in his account, reports that there was a large crowd of onlookers to the procession. Luke chapter 23, beginning in verse 27. "And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, Blessed are the barren, wombs that never bore, and breasts which never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?'" Now we find that Simon of Cyrene was compelled to bear the cross for him. Back to Mark 15 in verse 21. "Then they compelled a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, the father of Alexander and Rufus, as he was coming out of the country and passing by, to bear his cross. And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull." Now Luke, in his account, referred to the destination as Calvary. Luke 23 and verse 33. "And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left." Calvary means the place of the skull. It is Latin for skull. Golgotha is a transliteration of the Aramaic word for skull. We see in Luke 23 and verse 33. Now verse 21 here in Mark 15 told us that Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. Now this is possibly the Rufus referred to in Romans chapter 16 and verse 13 as a member of the church in Rome. Now Calvary was outside the city of Jerusalem, but it was not very far from it. Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 12 says, "Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate." John tells us in chapter 19 in verse 20, "Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin." So Jesus, assisted by Simon, had come to the hill of Golgotha. I'm reminded of a hymn titled, "If That Isn't Love." It says that he left the splendor of heaven, knowing his destiny was the lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down his life for me. And if that isn't love, then the ocean is dry. There's no stars in the sky, and the little sparrows can't fly. Yea, if that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this, if that isn't love. And now as we press onward, we see Jesus is now nailed to the cross. Mark 15 in verse 23, "Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it. They immediately crucified him upon arrival at the site." The wine and the myrrh would have been a sympathetic gesture to help deaden the pain. But Jesus would fully bear it all and refuse the offer. Now Mark only gives us a brief detail of the crucifixion. But now let's take a few minutes to look closer at what exactly is a crucifixion. Notice again chapter 15 and verse 22. "And they brought him to the place Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull." And again, Luke 23 and verse 33 called the place Calvary, the place of the skull. Named this probably because so many crucifixions took place there. It could be because skull are found there, or maybe the place looked like a skull. But Hebrews 13:12 told us it was outside the city, and John 19:20 indicated that it was close to the city. Verse 23 said, "Then they gave him wine mingled with myrrh to drink, but he did not take it." Crucifixion was considered the most horrible death, even worse than burning. Consider, a crucifixion usually began with a scourging, a terrible ordeal of itself. Jesus underwent this dreaded punishment. John 19, verses 1 through 5, and Isaiah chapter 52, verse 14. Pontius Pilate's intent in the scourging inflicted upon Jesus, an attempt to evoke sympathy in his accusers toward the Lord so that they might agree to his release. Note Luke 23 and verse 22. The victim was usually forced to carry his cross, and sometimes even goaded and beaten on the way. The execution site was in some public place, often along a prominent road, or on a hill where the victim could easily be seen. The victim would be stripped naked, with perhaps a loincloth being allowed. The cross was in the usual shape we envision, or formed as a T, or in the form of an X. The victim was laid upon the cross, and nails were driven through his hands and feet. Sometimes thongs were also used to prevent the body from slipping off the cross if the body should tear. The cross cruelly was erected so that the feet of the subject was only a foot or two above the ground, so close but yet so far from relief. A large nail was driven through each hand, and another through each foot, or one nail through both feet. Consider Psalm 22 and verse 16, Luke chapter 24 and verse 39, and John chapter 20, verses 24 through 28. A wooden rod was inserted between the legs as support for the sagging body to prevent the nails from tearing the hands and feet. One of the few acts of mercy attendant to a crucifixion was the practice of giving the subject a drink of medication, wine mingled with myrrh or gall. This would induce grogginess and deaden the pain somewhat. But Jesus refused to accept this offer so that he might fully taste death. He later was offered a drink of vinegar in a sponge in John 19, verses 28 through 30. This was a mixture of sour wine and water, which was used by the soldiers. The hyssop stalk, or reed, on which the sponge was raised to the Lord grew from 1.5 to 3 feet in length. Ironically, the wounds of the crucifixion did not result in the loss of a great amount of blood and were not directly fatal. The causes of death are given as follows. First, the unnatural position and violent tension of the body caused great pain from even a small movement. The great agonies experienced contributed to death. The nails were driven through the hands and feet, where a great number of nerves are located, thus causing great agony. A second factor is the exposure of the many wounds and lacerations, including those from the scourging. They would bring on inflammation, which tends to become gangrene soon, and so the pain increases moment by moment. Third, in the distended parts of the body, more blood flows through the arteries than can be carried back into the veins. Hence, too much blood finds its way from the aorta into the head and stomach, and the blood vessels of the head become pressed and swollen. The general obstruction of circulation which ensues causes an internal excitement. It creates exertion and anxiety. In fact, perhaps more intolerable than the death itself. The gradual increasing and lingering agony and unbearable thirst and the difficulty in breathing eventually bring about death. Depending on the constitution and condition of the subject, death might be several days in coming. McClintock and Strong's Encyclopedia reports the case of a young Turkish slave named Mameluk, who lasted from Friday to Sunday during his crucifixion. And he was noted for being an exceptionally rugged individual. As unspeakably inhumane as this mode of execution was, it stopped just short of producing merciful death and delivery from its agony. And those thus executed often lingered for several days, unable to live and unable to die. The wretched position made every movement one of agony. The pierced hands and feet soon became inflamed and infected. Arteries were distended and blocked. Fever would shoot upward, and intolerable headaches often drove those being put to death into insanity. It was such a death as this that our Lord Jesus was condemned to. And this charge and this sentence was carried out and brought about by men who were supposed to be the guardians of the truth and the favored of Jehovah God. And this ordeal is only beginning. I hope that this series of lessons will cause each of us to more deeply appreciate the love and compassion of Jesus Christ for His creation, and hopefully move each of us to more obedience, a growing faith, and a life given to Him to please Him. He denied Himself. Will you deny yourself and follow Him? I want to thank you for joining me today. We will continue to look next week at the events of the crucifixion if the Lord wills. I hope to see you then. Remember, our program will be replayed this evening at 11 p.m. Central Standard Time and posted in the on-demand section of the Gospel Radio Network website in a day or so. So until we meet again, this is Chris saying so long, have a great day, and may God bless you.